I'm Ron Vignac. Today is your person with you in Bible study, and today the session will be the God of Health and the Idolatry of Health. That's a title. Okay. And as we begin, Psalm 103 is a wonderful psalm of the thanksgiving for the restoration of health. And the word that's used in the opening is the word that I would suggest to you. Soul is what this magazine is. This article is talking about, which is self. And you can put that in there if you like, however you want. But let's hear the wonderful news of this song. Would somebody like to read? 103.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our name, our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes when the wind has passed over it. It is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, and who remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can we all say that?
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. And let it be. Bless the Lord, O my nephesh, the Hebrew. Bless the Lord, O my self. This is the real self, the whole self. And it's not something you acquire, you see. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Could be, bless the Lord, O my life, and all that is within me. We do not acquire a soul. You do not work your way towards that goal in life. In the Hebrew, in the psalm, in God's word for us today, you are a soul. Imagine that. That's why the idols of our age can capture us. Because you are all. You are already all that you are. You're a soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what does this do? He forgives all our iniquities, all our passions, all those misdirected passions. Okay? All those sort of what we call sin. The Hebrew did a wonderful thing. They used three different words for sin, right? When you read Psalm 52, the wonderful David and Bathsheba forgiveness one, you know, it's iniquity, it's sin, it's transgression. The Hebrew had a wonderful way of drawing in the wide range of how we are miss the mark. We feel strongly and in a fit of passion do something. And we see, thou shalt not smoke, and we smoke anyway. Don't walk on the grass, we walk on the grass. And it's from that whole range that we are forgiven. God forgives all your iniquity and he heals all your diseases. It's a God of health. And health and salvation. You could, I'm stretching the word, but a salvation is a health, if you will. And so the God of health, the God of salvation, has something special for you and I. And it's already given. And so if it's given, we don't have to buy it back. So then when we buy, we should do it with the eyes and the ears and the feelings and everything of discernment, so that we know what it is. In other words, unmask the powers. We unmask them, as Walter Wink is very good work, to be able to embrace the contraries. And that's kind of what we're doing this week, right? And that yesterday, we sort of went through the themes of this. And just let's just read the bold letters again.
Healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Healthy, wealthy, and wise. These are wonderful gifts. Okay? Health, restoration of health. Tomorrow we'll talk about wealth and money. And again on Friday we'll get to the power and to what that might mean with wisdom, knowledge. Okay? But today, we look at this. As for man, his days, of men and women, their days are like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind passes over and we're gone. And its place knows it no more. Its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, to the children, to the children. The Lord has established his throne. Bless the Lord, all you angels, hosts, everybody who does his will, and so forth. The psalm gets us now into how do we face, how do we encounter, how do we engage the idolatry of health today? Okay, and I want to continue a little bit with just sort of end with my advertising pictures, because it's that sort of objectification of that which is good that comes to us. What is this picture? If you were here yesterday, be able to.
Ghost movie.
What do we have here?
Ghost movie.
Oh, you're kind.
On the bottom.
I want to know what the what's the message? You're on the bottom. I know we're kind of a little timid here because this thing looks like it does. What is it? Look at the picture now. The image. You're laughing. Come on, you gotta let us in on your laugh.
Well, it directs our attention to a certain part of a person's
body. Tell us where it directs our attention. See, isn't it interesting that what we see there is we really shouldn't speak of it. They're so bold to do it, but here we are, good Christian souls. Good Christian selves. We don't talk about penises and things like that. But they do. The idolater, that which leads us to move away from that which is given by God, leads us to this. Look how timid we are. Afraid to name the thing. Power, this is power here then, right? If you can't name it, it's got you. Isn't that what an idol does? Can't speak, can't do anything. Look what it's done to you. Made you quiet as mice in here. Somebody knew what they were doing here. This is all intentional. There's no mistake. Why didn't they put the car sideways? I mean, the penis doesn't go sideways. You don't have intercourse that way. It would be unnatural. This is very, very intentional, isn't it? Look what he's doing. What is he doing? He's undressing himself. What's the message say? Read it. You have to read it. If you don't read it, I'll wear it. Wear it. He's taking off his clothes. I wonder what he's going to do next. Where's the other Sierra? This is pornography. This is pornography. This is poinonia. This is an image that is depicting something that you know, and you may not. You may be so, you know, we're so repressed in some ways to, we don't want to admit that, but it's there, isn't it? Very clearly, very intentionally, and it's from the good old guys. Indeed, good old guys. Wear a Sierra, red hot sail extended. And it takes and trivializes, and it says we can wear this. In other words, it takes what is valuable, which is our sexuality, that which we are given, and turns us into this objective thing which has no soul, you see. Here's why it's so sick, or why it's sad. There's no soul here. And yet this is the messages constantly given to us, intentionally, to bring us into the arena of the marketplace so that you and I will finally buy something like this, good or bad, whether it's a good car or not. And so today, we will sort of look at that in relationship to health. And I would like to know what purpose health is. Does anyone want to suggest? Why be healthy? Come on.
Gives you choices.
Gives you choices.
All kinds of choices about what you can do and be.
Okay.
Defines your whole life.
Defines your whole life. Interesting. Any others? Why do we have? Why is there almost an obsession with health today?
Independent.
Someone else?
Makes you look good.
Makes you look good. Yeah.
Live longer.
Live longer. Keep going with live longer. How long?
Forever.
Yes, as long as you can go, folks. Okay. Live longer.
Gives you energy.
Gives you energy. You're positive, you folks. That's good. That's embracing the contrary.
Stops your cholesterol below
200. Yeah. And again, for what purpose?
So you
feel good. So what? 99% of the world doesn't feel good. They're not even getting enough food to get to that next day feeling good. Why should you feel good?
You can enjoy
as a Christian. So you can enjoy all the wonderful benefits that God gives us.
And also be of service.
And be of service, thank you. Feel good, be of service. Okay? I like to just read this from Russell Baker. It's called The Fitness Fad Begins to Give Death a Bad Name. He says, when I die, I want people to commiserate. I want to hear them say, what a pity. And it's a rotten shame that this sort of thing should happen to a fine person like you, even if you were a little corrupt. Americans once said that sort of thing at the funeral time. Lately, though, when it looks as if you may be in a mortal pickle, what you're more likely to hear is this. Tough buns, sweetheart. If you've watched your cholesterol, exercised an hour a day, stuffed down more fiber, supplemented your calcium intake, popped a daily aspirin, you wouldn't be spoiling everybody's day. Fitness fad gives death a bad name. On the more serious side, of course, isn't that that sort of journey, and isn't it what the idolatry of health does to us? Takes us and tries to say that you can have it longer and longer. For the Christian now, is that the way we are to live our life? I mean, these are good things, popping an aspirin a day. Maybe it does help. Probably should do it. What is the idolatry, then, in trying to live forever?
Takes the focus off today.
Takes the focus off today. Because it, like the ad, you're never quite there. And there'll be something new I'll have to take tomorrow. You know, now everybody's eating oatmeal. Grandma told you that years ago. You should be. Well, I said, it's stuck to your ribs. I mean, that's probably a good dog. But now it's not. Now it's not just. You see how all these values have changed? My son collects baseball cards. I collected it when I was a kid. How many of you collected baseball cards? Okay. You know why he collects baseball cards?
Because it's a collector's item now.
And because then tied to it is what?
Money.
Yeah, he doesn't really care about that, but that's what he says. That's his rationale. Every time I give him 45 cents for those stupid cards, they don't give you the bubble gum anymore. The card. And you can see how it's been, how that's evolved and changed. And I would suggest that the masters of advertising and who get paid very well to do this kind of thing know intentionally what you and I need and will sell this back to us. But let's hear what the scripture has to say to us in
two new words we'll have for you today. Why don't we start with 1 Peter 4:8.
And if somebody would read verses 8 through 10.
Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms.
Yeah. One more verse?
No, that's it. That's a real exciting verse, isn't it? I can hear it already. As each one has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's poikilos grace. Okay? And I want to, that word is so rich and the translation is so dead. John Graber, and it's in the Barclay book about the Bible, New Testament words, that's where I found it, and a poet friend of mine. Poikilos means literally many colored. Now read that verse using that. Somebody. Anybody. Just stick in instead of varied. Varied is about as, wonderful word as varied. Okay, stick in many colored.
As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's many-colored grace.
Yeah. See how different that is? The many-colored graces, the grace of God. And what are we to do with it?
Help one another.
Employ it. Since we're an economic people, we are going to employ the gift that has been given to each person, the many colored gifts. Anybody go to the session last night and hear the music?
Yes.
Oh, look at you, you're smiling. You are happy people. Did you hear that? It was. You know why? Why? What was given to you?
Great gifts.
Say it more richly. It was the gift of music.
The many colored
grace that came out of those musicians. And where did it come from? You ever notice how people, I go to a Pentecostal church or a black gospel choir, or and if something comes out, it's, where does this come from? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, my old nephesh, everything within me. Used to hear the Choir of the West. Do they do it? They do. But it's the typical Lutheran order. Everything is orderly. And it's in place. And it drives you nuts sometimes if you get too disciplined, right? I mean, it's sometimes hard. Make a mistake. When they make the mistake, what happens? Oh! But when those folks last night, I watched him jump from the ding ding ding. And it was grace. Many call it. The guy was so graceful. Grace-filled. And that was the gift, as somebody said here, given to us. And it each has received a gift, and that was obvious there last night. Employ it for one another as good stewards of God's grace. What is health, God of health, ask us to do? Can you acquire this? Can you buy it? and you buy the many-colored graces of God?
Heart transplant.
Can we market that and do what this one does? This is another one. This shows how far, I mean, we'll get more sophisticated as we go along. Anybody would like to just read the big print? At last?
At last, a male, female, 1849.
You may wonder what that is. Well, you'd have to read the little print. What they all marketing people know is what? That, and this is sort of strange, with the man that looks like Wes incarnated here with his funny outfits on sometimes. At last, the male, female, 18 to 49. In other words, there are products and there are things that we produce in society that just doesn't affect you. You know, you don't need it. But you need it, okay? There are some, and so what they're saying is, for a price, we will do that for you. We will isolate the market for you. We will see how the symbols that affect senior citizens over and against those who are younger and have different needs. And we will then get that and market and package it for you so that you can now sell, you know, your product. Now, in a positive way, that's good business. Now, when we're talking about health, is there a doctor here? A couple of doctors. How do we package health today to our society? What is the medical profession? Do they have anything to say about health?
Well, I think in some ways we're torn at what's packaged because of, you know, physicians, and we've tried to hold to a kind of a service, you know, commitment to patients, but there's so much of a market economy within medicine now where, you know, any clinic of any size promotes the services of the physicians and the other ancillary services that are there. You know, maybe we do have some role in that as doctors too, but we also feel under the burden of the marketing that goes on by people who know how to organize a group of people, to focus a group of people for the services that we have.
Okay. Do you see any idolatry in health today? How do you see it? I talked to you briefly yesterday.
I do. I see a lot of promises, I guess, given out by the marketing that the drugs we use can't always come through with, that the things that we do can't come through with. Often we do. The drugs work as well as the promises in the advertisements and wherever else do them out. As I mentioned to you yesterday, the marketing of pharmaceuticals is so great. It's the second largest advertiser in America, just behind tobacco.
Just behind tobacco.
And just ahead of alcohol.
Just ahead of alcohol. Okay.
There's a book I recently read, it's several years old, titled Confessions of a Medical Heretic. And it's written by a doctor who talks about doctors having set themselves up as gods and the hospitals are their temples, and how we place our faith and belief in them and in the chemicals and drugs that they prescribe for us without questioning or without doing enough investigating on our own as to what's happening. And it's a very different perspective on medicine than you normally see in our society today.
Okay. And so, but health then for us, salvation, I mean, those are good things. Medicine is helpful. It brings us, it can bring us, restore some of our well-being. Yes, sir?
Just another thought. Health and healthcare is now a product. It's not a service in sort of this market economy, and it's delivering a product at a certain price, and how much can you deliver it, what price is what HMOs and PPOs and prepaid programs that call healthcare providers instead of doctors now. You're providing this product, and it's okay. Sort of a packaged item, and it's supposed to have guarantees on it.
Of course.
One of the insidious things that's happened is that no longer do people realize that health is a gift. It's suddenly something that can be granted, like with a warranty. When you go to the doctor, by golly, he better have a good warranty or he might get sued.
Sure.
So it's kind of gone, and delivery of babies, for example, is a real classic example of this. Almost any baby that is delivered that is not perfect is going to generate a suit in the modern age now. Almost all of them in that situation. And what that brings about is this sort of a general sense that delivery of a baby is just delivery of a product. It's just something that the doctor can guarantee is going to be right. And if the baby has a problem or malformation or something goes wrong, then someone's going to pay. It's not a situation that can't be guaranteed upon.
Right. Okay. You hear what's going on here? You hear that soullessness? There's no nefesh in this. It's a product. And just think of all what social services, what Lou is involved in. Remember you said yesterday that there was a shift. Now people are not concerned about the people. What are they concerned about? Well, themselves, but even worse, the program. And isn't it interesting that in 1965, Dr. John Schiller, this is where he targets it. He says in 65, in the McNamara era, he saw the shift in the whole nation in social providing, helping the needs of people and all. And it shifted from people-oriented, persons, if you will, souls, if you will, selves, if you will. And it moved towards programs, which then are quantitative, which are always based not on real people, but on performance. And they got to be finally have to be guaranteed. And if your program doesn't work, you're cut out of the situation. Then you have to learn how to lie and cheat and deceive the numbers. All over. This is the part of the idolatry. And so healthcare, you know, U.S. Health Report. This aren't we always doing this? This is at least has color in it, right? A little multicultural Poikilos here. This is the secular Poikilos, the many colored newspaper. And the U.S. Health Report, some good news, but ominous trend for blacks. My friend and some friends that are here. The ominous trend is whites are gaining years, but blacks are losing years. Lou, you're not going to be here long, so you want to start your session now? Why is that?
I'll talk fast.
Why are the souls and the nefeshes of the minority community, which is not such a minority, there are more blacks in America than the whole nation of combined peoples of Canada, right? Right? So much for the minority. Why are they not receiving the health care and benefits?
Because it's a commodity
money.
You can't afford.
It costs money. We'll talk about that tomorrow. There's something very, yes, sir.
You don't have to be black to say that.
No, of course not.
Are saying that now that I hurt, but I can't afford to go to the doctor. He sure wants his money, and I don't have $100 to see him. Sure. And then they say, he's in and out. And if I want to ask him a question, he doesn't have time. He's too busy. But my parishioners who are middle class and all have good health program and protection just don't want to spend the money. They hurt. And then when they go to the doctor, says, well, there's nothing I can do for you.
Okay. And so when we stay with the package, and we stay always with Kierkegaard, here's a wonderful quote by Søren Kierkegaard, a Danish theologian. He says, in the end, physics will replace ethics, just as metaphysics displaced theology. The modern statistical view of ethics contributes toward that. He saw that then. He saw that this is what we do. Isn't this schizophrenic? You can apply it to any of the housing trends. That went up 2% this month, went down 2%, up and down. Here you are going. I wonder where we put our money. How do we take care of our health? Aspirins are good. No, one aspirin, two aspirins. Take a whole bottle. What do I do? And then you are drawn away from the life-giving salvation health of the one who has given you poikilos to face the situations in life and to employ it for whom?
Others.
For others. If you are constantly taking your blood pressure, your cholesterol, all that. You know, I'm being facetious here, but and you are always looking in again, Sir Karvatas. How will you, if you're always looking at your body to see if you look good? Is your hair in place? The right shoes? I got Birkenstocks. I love them. It costs $70. You can go to Kmart and buy 10 pairs of shoes for a kid to go to school. Kmart. It's my own judgment. I have to live with this. But yes, they're comfortable. All the rest. That's not the issue, though, today, right? We're not talking about that. What we want to get at is the next part of the study. Would somebody read another word that we'll have is from 1 Peter 4:8. Well, we just did that. How about Ephesians 2, 8 to 10?
For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
That we should walk in them. And there's another word there. For we are his workmanship. You feel like a house that was just built. That's an unfortunate word again, because the word in Greek, this is the other one, is you are God's poema. What's a poema?
Poem.
A poem. Can you imagine that? That we are God's poemas. I'm stretching that word. It's used that way in other ways. But we are God's craft. We are crafted, put together, made. We are God's poem. How do you understand a poem, Paul?
Yeah. Come on. A poem is not a description of something, it's an experience.
Can we hear that clearly? Yeah. It is not a description of something, it's an experience. Can you hear? This is what we are. We are God's poemas. We are God's to be experienced in the community. Do you know what else happened yesterday besides Pokelios in that room? What happened? It was poetry. Who cares if you understood the Spanish? Did that really matter to you? We got a translator, which is all right. But would you have been able to receive what they gave, even if you didn't understand the language?
Oh, you got the feeling of it.
Yeah, of course, a poema. I don't understand all poems to read. And I hope you, when you try to read me, don't stand there trying to analyze me. That's what these people do. Okay, that's what the idolater has to finally, the one that creates idolatry in a sense, it has to figure out, I got to figure out, what do you really need? Let's see, you got gray hair, you smile. How about a place in Arizona? You look like a couple that should go south every year. And you know what? We're gonna design it for you. And we're gonna make it so comfortable and so easy. You'll never know there's a poor person, there's any kind of pain, there's no more pain because the health people are taking care of that. And you just live off of your investment. Hey, start saying, yeah, I got my priest, the financial manager. Just go to him, her, my sister is one. You can imagine her, she graduated from Luther. She and I really go around. She's a wonderful woman. In fact, she was in USA Today as one of the 10 people who has done the American ideology of the opportunity was there. She grasped it. She used the given talents that are hers. She works hard, and she reaps the reward. And she does. And it works for my sister, Christina. And she's a wonderful woman. And yet she, too, but I know Christina. You see, I know what we called her Chickie. And when Chickie and I'm 2 years younger, when Chickie and I were locked in a room by my father, who we never did like, I guess that's why he locked us in the room. But I don't know why he locked us. I was only 4 years old. She was six. And I remember when we came out of the room as a little boy, she was crying hysterically. And for some reason, I wasn't. And I was the crybaby. And I just held her. And I remember being in the room somewhere as a brother and sister. You see, there was something there that even as she goes in her financial, after the security, because she's a terribly insecure woman, isn't she? Father left her. Very important person in her life. I'm insecure. I take my insecurity out differently. And we could analyze it, but that wouldn't help us. I need to hear this. I need to hear that there's a gift in this here that we can share and employ for one another. And in the community of South Sham, the one not in Oregon, but you could do it in Oregon. It happens to be the one in East Tacoma, to work with the faithful other folks like Lou and Al Davis and the Cambodian Episcopal priest and his people, to work with LeSharon, who is here, and her children, and to be able to see the gift of health in weak and broken people. I know LeSharon was going to hate this, but I'm going to say something. LeSharon, do you remember we saw two young girls? I don't know if the two girls are here. I don't know what their problem is, but they walk with little aluminum canes to aid them, right? Is there anyone here that knows them? Okay. I like to share this because it was such a wonderful ministry that LeSharon gave to me. Remember we were walking down and we saw them? And I think the mom, do you remember what you said to me? Want to share it? No? Okay. She saw the poem. She saw God's poemas, those two girls, I believe it was, walking down. And she said how wonderful it is to see them out and walking and striving and receiving whatever they were receiving. And she said it in a manner that only she could say it. I can't reproduce it. But she was doing God's poema, she was expressing the many colored graces of God, and she was applauding. LeSharon was, in a sense, applauding those two young girls. And what a gift that has been to us. And here, LeSharon, how many children do you have?
Six.
Six children. You're going to need a lot of many colored graces. And let me tell you something, she has, and so do her people. And that's why it is such a joy to be in that kind of ministry, wherever you are, be it in the low-income area or wherever you folks find yourselves. Okay, you see how different it is to be gifted, to be called, claim God's workmanship, created in whom, again? You got to keep going back to the center. And who?
God's image.
Yeah, in God, but specifically name the name.
Christ.
In Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. You see, that is terribly freeing. That's just fun. To be created in that person's image. Now, if you drop in and look for a minute. What was the perception, or at least Luke gives us that, in chapter 7, verse 34? Some of you won't like what they were calling him. But this is what you were created in. Somebody want to read it? This is really called embracing the contraries. It's John the Baptist and Jesus and how the people, or somebody, was perceiving them. Somebody want to read it?
The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, friend of the tax collectors and sinners.
Okay, would you want to just back up and embrace the contrary there, the John
behold,
the Baptist?
Behold, a glutton and a drunkard.
No, another verse up.
The Son of Man has come eating and drinking.
Go to John the Baptist.
Oh, for John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. And you say he has a demon.
He has a demon. The guy's weird. He lives with Holden. Go ahead.
The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.
Food is, isn't it interesting? Can't win. The culture won't let us win. You can come out of here and, God, look at those people. They eat beans and grains. Must not like the rest of us who eat meat. And then you go down to the tavern down in, you know, they used to have a tavern down in Lucerne. I loved it. I can say things now because I'm old enough now. When I was here the first year, I remember when they used to have Vespers, I try to avoid it once in a while. And I'd take the pickup truck, and Warner and Jensen never knew it, and I'd make my beer run. I'd slide by when they were singing. All the way down the hill in the tavern. And then you'd bring up your little beer and stick it in the woods so nobody knew. It's fun. It's like Augustine, you know the pear is there and you shouldn't pick it, but you pick it anyway. Yes. And the people looked at Jesus and said, or somebody did at least, and said, ah, look at him, he's sitting with those characters in the tavern. Or he's sitting with the, oh no, not with that IRS person. Those sort of outcasts, those people, the AIDS person next to you. And that, oh dear, you know what he is, or she, so forth. And the good news keeps breaking in and breaking in. But we got a God who's rich in mercy. The great love of which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us what? Alive. See, as much as all of our idolatry in the marketplace, it just cannot make us alive. GE doesn't bring good things to life. I'm sorry. Toasters won't do it. You got a fetish for toasters, you better go visit a counselor. Or for the things that are worse, like the nuclear component. That doesn't bring things to life. And yet the mottos go out, the messages go out, the creeds go out. And what we're called to do is what I would like to read. His last paragraph, Walter Wink, who tries to give us and recapture for us from the biblical understanding the words that we have almost no way to relate to, a lot of us, at least. You know, Satan, evil, the devil, the powers, those things that are invisible that we say. What a social scientist will do a lot in sociology, we'll call those things not the devil anymore, evil or Satan or demonic. We say it's in the structures. It's in the systems. You got to change the systems, okay? And you got to change the structures, which is I agree with. But how? And then, as Christian people, we can live in both those realms. And here's what he says: the ultimate issue, however, is not whether we comprehend the powers, but whether we confront them with their apostasy from their heavenly calling. Because we do need food. We do need business, commerce, and medicine, and healers of all kinds. And we do need social workers and agencies, because no one can do it alone. And I think he's saying that. Understanding the powers is but a step toward encountering them. That's what I heard at Paul's session yesterday with Martin Luther King. It was the beginning. At least he was trying to go back to those pastures. And saying, understanding the powers is but a step toward encountering them finally, and in his case with nonviolence. We unmask them only in order to engage them. See, what happens normally is, well, I got the power here, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to isolate myself from that. I'm not going to go eat another McDonald's. Well, why not? You might write a letter to McDonald's and say, stop using styrofoam. That's not a bad thing to do, is it? So forth. And that's what a fellow in Chicago, Pastor Infelt at Cabrini Green, one of the biggest, sort of ugliest housing projects in Chicago, or maybe in the nation. And I sat with him not too long ago, and he was telling me about his ministry, wonderful, a white man in a predominantly black area. And he says, we need to learn to pasture the systems.
It's a helpful image. It was a pastor of the systems. In Salishan, I go to DSHS, into Tacoma Housing Authority, don't we, Lou? And we talk to whom? The powers. The folks that are making the decisions about the people who are going to be evicted or not evicted. Or, you know, you haven't cut your lawn down to the right left. Because they're limited. They have limit, and the Christian in response and ministry can go beyond that. Because we're free in a different way. And this is what he's saying here. We unmask them only in order to engage them in the spirit and the power of the one, capital O, in whom and through whom and for whom they were created. The truly human being. The what? The truly human being. The truly human nefesh, the truly human soul, incarnated by, guess who? Jesus. What you've been created in. And so there we are. That's just a wonderful image. I would like to kind of jump to something in the God of Salvation then to... another way that information is given to us, Time Magazine. I don't like Time Magazine. I got a bias against Time Magazine. I subscribed to it for 6 months one time when I was to go to Central America, and they were offering, here's the mentality, my mentality. They gave you little gifts, right? If you, right? This year it was a 35 millimeter camera. I have a good 35 millimeter camera. I said, I'm not going to Central America with my good 35 million camera, because what will happen to it there? Those people had sung last night, I'm sure they're going to come steal my camera. I just know it. I've never been to Central America. I don't know those people. I don't know that culture. They'll steal it. Hold me, they're all over. They're going to take it. So I got my 35 millimeter cheap plastic camera. My 10 rolls of film, get it all developed, guess what? Oh, it had pictures, double exposures, every one. Blame them, right? Uh-huh. Guess who gets the blame? They gave me the camera, they upheld their promise, and my fear, God did redeem it because they were wonderful double exposures. I would take pictures in Nicaragua of the cathedral destroyed, and then the next I had picture of peasants, and they were juxtaposed. He made out of my stupidity, and it was, and my fear, he made out of that pictures that turned out to be wonderful poems. I couldn't have done that. I mean, I did it, but wouldn't have come out like that. Time did a wonderful thing here, whoever the author was. And they did something so unusual. And the reason I even bought it, I saw it on the magazine, and I said, I'm going to take this because there's no picture on it. You notice, they always have a picture. They have little ones up here, but the main thing is always the... And here's the script. A Christmas Story. When Sister Geraldine would have visitors understand is that it is not a matter of how much she gives to the people of Sunset Park. Sunset Park is a low-income area in Brooklyn, New York, just where I lived. I lived in the more affluent area, but Sunset bordered on it. But now, how much she gets back. The gift is their lives. She says, they trust us with their lives, and we offer them in return practical things. Like food and clothing, spiritual things, like comfort and encouragement, hope, perhaps. Sometimes we give them hope, but oh, what they give to us. She's speaking about these low-income Puerto Ricans, blacks, new arrived immigrants that surround the Sunset Park area, which used to be heavily Norwegian. The big cathedral, the church where some of the old American Lutheran church leadership came out of, Trinity Lutheran, sits right in the middle of it.
And I visited Bob Nervick, who's now taking it. And I took a picture of their sign outside, and they have a service in the morning in Norwegian. Culture's alive. It's Norsky, so we'll give it up. A service in Spanish, and a service in English. And the vision is to bring all of them together, so. To bring the many colored graces of God in all of those three, and bring them together into a new poema. A new workmanship as they share that. And that church sits there. Well, I just want to say, time then did something even more wonderful. It didn't give us photographs of all these poor Puerto Ricans. It did is it gave us what? These aren't photographs, but they are works of art. How wonderful that they did this, especially in relationship to this Christmas story. They didn't destroy, and I don't mean that photographs can't be art, but in this case, they broke the pattern. And instead of, and they show pictures just as you would if you ever go to, just like the cross in the center, just if you ever go to the People's kind of Church in El Salvador or Nicaragua, they'll have these incredible murals and pictures telling you the story, okay? And then that's what she does, this nun, with her wonderful children. See? And what they do is she simply tells the stories. And I know Paul's been encouraging us to read those stories in other kinds of literature. And I would pray that we do that. Because there's something that will be given there in poetry that can't be given in description. We can describe poverty till it has no soul. And finally, not even the people are in there. And the children. We can do that with hand, we can do that in every area of life. So we're capable. And what's so wonderful here. And I'd just like to read just one little section of how she describes this. She's talking about her order, the people she works in. She says, and she does it in French, and then she translates. You have a heart created to love. Okay? You can put all the words of the theology. You have a soul created to love. You have a life created to love. You have life created to love. Isn't that something? And to be grateful. Have you ever been with people after you've, or if you've been at their table and you eat food, and they don't say thank you? Yeah, I mean, isn't it strange to be in the company or the ambience of people who aren't able to say thank you? They have no sense of gratefulness. Sharon, you might appreciate this story. You didn't know me. We didn't know you then, but some of our other children that we do all know in common, and Lou knows. When we started our little mission in Salshan, we used to have food was. You know, food got Jesus in trouble, and why not? So we brought in food. We'd ask a lot nice Lutheran church to bring us food once a month, usually at the end of the month, because that's when it's needed. And we'd have a little potlucks, and it was mainly kids, because we didn't have adults at the time. And I remember the first dinners, the very first one. It was in the East Side Neighborhood Center, a terrible place to have a dinner to begin with. And here, there was probably 18 kids. And the food is out, and these are nice Lutheran folks bring it out. And these, guess what happened? The kids wait. They don't know us now. We've only been there a couple months. What do you think they did? Yeah, and just the, just try to image this. There's one big kid, and he's still there. Doesn't come to our church. And he piled, I mean, just literally piled. I was just big plate of food. And I'm looking at it. I didn't say anything at first. And he literally put his, just, you know, body language, right? If I put my hands down like this, what am I saying to you? They're wet. I'm big. I'm extreme. That's my food. And then they did precisely what you said. They didn't wait for anything. They just said, I'm eating. And they did that a few times until finally, sometimes I get mad and I just said, well, God, you guys are worse than dogs. You know, say thank you. And we had a relationship by then when I said that. And the beautiful thing is, now after a few years, guess what happens at these potlucks?
We say grace.
We say grace. And do we wait? The food? Yeah, because it's going to be provided. They trust that. And will there be enough for everybody?
Yes.
There'll be enough. And these children who were scared, fearful that this may be the meal and there's not going to be enough to go around, have completely changed that around. And they respond in thanksgiving. They've been, like this, been taught that they are gifted, that God, who is gracious and loves them, will provide through his people. Granted. You have a heart created to love and to be grateful. Theologically, the tenet of gratitude is seen as the opposite of original sin. Wonderful. Talk about embracing the gotchas. Gratitude is the opposite of what we call at least original sin, if you still believe in it. And because it grasps God as the source of all that is good. Mary Paul translates this idea into appreciation. She says, and think of Holden here for a moment, the staff truly appreciates the people they represent. Both she and Geraldine de-emphasize the role of religion in the center's work. It never seems to be mentioned, and both staff and clients represent all faiths and none, but faith is clearly at the core of the nuns' own lives, though it is a private business with them. And both must be prodded to discuss it. I was told when I came to Salishan to be precisely that kind of person. From people who have been serving faithfully for years in that sort of redundant poverty. One goes out, another person will come in. Okay? And I just now plug for the Lutherans. Is that okay? We're mentioned in here. We don't always get national press. The Center for Family Life is not the sole agency of health in Sunset Park. Lutheran Hospital. Again, where's our doctor? Doctors. Lutheran Hospital offers high school equivalency classes. What a wonder. To the community as well as medical care. Doug Heilman, a Lutheran minister, established Discipleship House, 1981, a sort of boys' town for teenagers in trouble. Heilman's work with street kids is praised everywhere in Sunset Park. Wherever he walks, he's greeted warmly by young men, many of them whom are former gang members. The help he provides takes the form of moral encouragement or simple solace. Heilman corresponds with a young man from the neighborhood now in prison for murdering his 6-month-old child in a fit of rage. Just recall today's matins today. Here's the clincher, though. Before Heilman took to the streets, no one in Sunset Park recognized such people. They couldn't see it. They didn't see God's poemas and their poikilos. They couldn't see that giftedness. And then, of course, you can't see it in yourself either then, or your own soul. When the society says the only worth you have is if you can acquire it through all these other means, even if they may be good things, which they are, be it health, wealth, or wisdom. I think I said it's probably too much here, and it's almost 10. I'd like to just then, can I just leave you with something? A couple of images. Lou is laughing. Hide. This is the pastor of Lou Horton's church. Now he was saying which one, but the pig is just as. Why is that pig in there? Lou, do you want to mention that? Do you want to just say something?
No, I'll let you do.
Well, actually, what is it? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it wonderful what's being here? This is truly embracing the contraries. Here's this fella and the pig. Look at them looking at each other. Relating. Not trying to understand each other, I hope. And the man over here is their spiritual leader and guide, and for 25 years has faithfully stayed when program after program has left. There they remain, the body of Christ, in Church of God in Christ at this point. We work with them side by side. Here's yours truly. And we made the... This is a terrible thing to happen. They did an article on us, okay? And they list... This is my 1986 Toyota, somebody recognized. And it has the phone number. So can you imagine some of the phone calls? I had people that wanted to be a prophet in the church. The Jehovah's Witnesses wanted to convert me. It was fun. And I promised I'd never do that to myself again. And another group, just to show the cultural wonderfulness, the only Episcopal Cambodian church in the world, in the United States, is in Salishan. And that's the Asian group is very large in our state, and especially in our area. And the priest, Kevin Allen, and Dr. Cochran here. And we all, as the body, with our many colored graces, and we are different, thank God. Lou and I go back and forth on that. And so are you. And you are poemas, your God's workmanship. Okay, created to do what? Do good works. See, that's not works righteousness. Let's do good works that God has already what? Prepared for you in advance. So you can freely go in. You don't have to develop a program. I mean, if you do, that's fine. But just remember, be free about it. Don't get caught in the idolatry of it. And then we know, as Christians, we're not saving the world. We're all saved by the one who is reconciling all things unto himself, by the blood of his cross. Okay? And I think that's enough for today. Tomorrow, we'll go on with money, which is a real fun idea. But anybody want any comments? I know it's almost 10, so... Yes, ma'am.
The name of this book you were referring to, the other...
This one?
What is that?
This is in the bookstore. It's called Unmasking the Powers. It's the invisible... Well, that's it. And Walter Wink. Well, thank you for coming. Remember your Portillos.